Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. So in our last episode, we talked about the Gallup State of the Global Workplace survey that has just come out, and we specifically focused on engagement numbers and how important that was. My goal here is not to dive deep into the numbers and just kind of swim around in the numbers and geek out on all of that. It really is to give you a sense of how these numbers play out in the workplace and in our lives. And so as we go through these, I want you to think about, what do you see around you every day that resonates with you when you hear what I'll be sharing with you today? Now, today we're going to focus more on the challenges that we all have around the numbers that we're seeing. A lot of this is going to be specifically directed to emotional drivers, which are heavily displayed here in this survey. So let me get into the specifics of this to introduce what this episode is about, but also be watching for things that you see on a daily basis that resonate with you when we talk about these kinds of things. Because as we go through this, you're going to see that these are serious concerns. And sometimes we blow some of this off like, well, that's not a big deal. Oh, it's just life. We'll deal with it. Every one of these things I'll be talking about has a direct impact on the well-being of the individual, which means their energy levels, their motivation, their feeling of being centered and being able to be productive and effective in what they do. All of that is hard measures. And so we may be talking about emotional measures or some soft skills in this, but those are directly related to hard outcomes. So let's get into this. The latest survey from Gallup presents very critical data for our workplaces that we have got to capture the attention of what that means. We have to figure out not just what that means for our country or for the world, but what does it mean for our organization and even our teams? And here's some data I'm going to share with you, and then I'm going to expand on that data. According to the survey, only 52% of individuals report that they are thriving. Now, I want you to remember, thriving is an emotion. It is a feeling that you are thriving. Anything you can put the word feeling in front of is definitely an emotion. So, but that's only half of the people in the workplace are actually feeling like they're thriving. And here's where the concerning numbers come in. 44% are struggling every day, and 4% are suffering significantly every day. Now, there's some additional data here that I'm going to share. I don't want to lose track of what we just looked at, but this data actually reveals alarming daily emotional experiences for people. Stress levels. 50% of people express a lot of stress every day. Sadness, 22%. Anger, 17%. And loneliness, 15%. Now, all of those are expressed as, I feel this a lot every day. That's the way the questions are set up. perhaps even more telling than even these numbers is that 50% of employees are actively watching for or seeking a new job. 50%. So owners, leaders, if you're listening to this, half your people are looking for a new job. And the reasons behind that, we'll hit on some of those today, but what it really comes down to is they're looking for a better environment where they can thrive. That's what this boils down to. Let me share a story with you, because I think the stories that I've experienced really speak to what I'm trying to present in a way that I hope people can hold on to and remember. I remember a situation where I was asked to come in and evaluate the culture of an organization. In my initial discovery meeting with the CEO, he listed a litany of challenges and concerns: low employee engagement, toxic teams, firmly entrenched silos, leadership failures, lack of collaboration and innovation, poor problem-solving skills, and the list just went on and on. Now, we came to an agreement where I would do an organizational diagnosis on his organization. This included interviews, it included assessments, observations, and we had some leadership insight meetings where we just came together and just talked about where the culture is and what were the issues that people were dealing with. Well, when you take that kind of a comprehensive approach, you can really get a good understanding of what's going on in an organization. And from this, we were able to determine the specific root causes of the challenges and the concerns that the CEO had described. The reason that I share this story is that we're seeing in the current Gallup Workplace Survey, we're seeing the numbers that are very strikingly similar to what I saw in that organization when I helped them with their culture transformation. And don't get put off by that term, culture transformation. Think of it this way: how do we make things better for everybody? That's what I'm talking about when I say culture transformation. How do we build a culture of sustainable success? And I have a very specific process to do that. And it includes leadership development, individual development, team development, organizational development. Anyway, there's a very specific sequence of events that we can provide a solution. We can get where an organization wants to be, but it takes time, effort, energy, and intention. There is nothing that just happens overnight, and there's nothing worth it that happens at very low cost. So to turn something around is going to take effort, absolutely. But as a very good friend of mine, Larry Solomon, always says, when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of the change, people will change. And obviously the pain was getting so bad for this organization. So the numbers from this survey that we're talking about should trigger alarm bells for all of us. The good news, there are proven solutions that I've talked about that can lift these measures and provide increased productivity and profitability. Thriving organizations, that's the goal. Now, I want to share an important concept, and I don't know that everybody will understand this or even agree with it, and that's fine. But after doing this for 40 years, I can tell you this is true. At the heart of all of these measures that we're looking at are emotional drivers. Engagement is the emotional commitment that employees have to the effort, to the team, and to the organization. Every measure in this survey has a large emotional component. If you want to improve a measure, then you need to address what is driving those numbers. The primary driver here is emotions and the emotional environment everyone is experiencing in the workplace. I have worked with hundreds of owners and leaders over the years. Understanding emotions in the workplace has been a roadblock for many of those people. Well, with the numbers that we're seeing from this survey, we can no longer avoid the emotional dynamic. We just can't do it anymore. As my good friend and business partner, Dr. Chuck Coker, says, growth happens at the edge of our comfort zone. If you want a thriving organization, again, thriving being expressed emotion, then it is time for us as leaders to grow in our capacity and competency in emotional intelligence. Now I want to dive deeper into these numbers and get below the surface. The implications of this data are profound. With nearly half of the workforce experiencing significant distress, leaders face critical challenges in maintaining productivity, employee retention, and fostering a healthy workplace culture. Allowing these trends to continue poses severe risks, and I can't express that strongly enough. According to the Gallup State of the Global Workplace 2025 survey, here's a direct quote. Last year, global employee engagement fell, costing the world economy approximately $438 billion in lost productivity. This economic toll underscores the critical financial implications of ignoring workplace emotional and engagement challenges. And this is where we cannot allow the roadblocks around the emotional dynamic to continue to exist. And yes, I'm an emotional intelligence apologetic. That's apologist. That's who I am. But the reality is I am that because there were many years that I was unaware of that in my early career. But once I got much more deeply into the psychology of business and understanding neuroscience and emotional intelligence and all of these other factors that play a role, what I realize is there are real solutions to these issues that we're facing. And I've seen it. I have worked with a company for a year, helping them to infuse emotional intelligence skills into their organization. And in that 12-month period of time, we were able to increase revenue 28% and double their net profit. So for those of you who are skeptical, there are real dollars attached to this work. Moreover, looking at this Gallup survey again, it identifies the primary cause of this decline. And please hear this. This is so important. The primary cause was a drop in manager/leader engagement. I added the leader part myself, but I wanted that to come across. Since the pandemic, managers have been asked to square the circle of new executive demands and employee expectations. We are starting to see the toll. That is a quote from the survey. Manager engagement fell from 30% to 27%, significantly impacting organizational effectiveness. Individual contributor engagement remained flat at a mere 18%, highlighting the critical role managers play in fostering engagement and productivity. You may not think that a 3% drop is that big a deal. That is absolutely huge. And it's trending down. This is not good. I mean, the manager engagement levels at 27% are actually lower than our United States engagement level for employees, which is 31%. That's not good. Because managers and leaders have got to lead the way. They are the conduit of organizational goals and objectives into individual teams. And if they're not engaged as a manager or leader, we got serious problems. Notably, young managers under 35 experienced a 5 percentage point drop, and female managers saw engagement decline by 7 points. This is a really concerning trend. Organizations have faced extensive disruptions over the past 5 years. We know this, right? It includes post-pandemic retirements and turnover, fluctuations in hiring, rapid restructuring of teams and departments, shrinking budgets due to the end of stimulus programs, disrupted supply chains, evolving customer expectations, digital transformation pressures, the integration of AI tools, and new employee desires. That's a big one. New employee desires. The value exchange is different today than it used to be. In the boomer generation, it was, I'll give you my effort and my hours for dollars and benefits. It's not that way anymore. Those things are still important, dollars and benefits, but people want more out of the workplace. It's why 50% of the workforce is looking for a new job right now. That's not good, because what it means is they're not getting what they need in a value sense where they currently are. So when we look at all of these challenges that we're facing in organizations, we've got to find a path forward. And I'm going to provide some of that for you today. These ongoing disruptions further exacerbate challenges in maintaining employee engagement and organizational stability, reinforcing the urgent need for proactive measures. And I can't state that strongly enough. Here's where we're going to start. Guess what? We're going to start with emotional intelligence, which is the core of workplace resilience. When you think of a high-performing team, what are the attributes? Well, if you think about it long enough, resilience, agility, change embracing, all of those things are a part of high-performance teams. All of those things have their foundation in emotional intelligence skills and competencies. Emotional intelligence provides individuals and leaders with the skills necessary to recognize, understand, and manage their emotions, which then fosters resilience and it reduces stress. And those two things need to be going parallel, where you're fostering resilience and growing and building resilience, what I call an internal resource, at the same time you're reducing stress. Research consistently links high emotional intelligence to improved job satisfaction, higher performance, and reduced turnover. And that's out of the 6 Seconds study in 2024. So there's real scientific data behind all of this. Developing emotional intelligence in leaders and in teams enables more effective communication, empathy, and stronger interpersonal connections, think trust, all critical elements for organizational health. Okay, that's one of the foundation pieces. Here's another one that you may or may not think about: transforming habits to enhance well-being. Habit transformation is another essential tool in tackling the pervasive negativity that we're seeing in this Gallup data. Habits form through repeated emotional responses and actions. Utilizing habit transformation frameworks like the Habit Story Assessment, and I've been using that now for a couple of years. In all of my years of using dozens of different assessments, this is by far the most powerful single assessment that I have ever used, because it's measuring productive habits and counterproductive habits on the same scale. It's measuring response patterns, how people are responding because of their habits. It's measuring their emotional state. When you look at those kinds of measures, you get a really good idea of where an individual is, where their roadblocks are, where their strengths are, and where the opportunities are. And removing those counterproductive habits can provide 10, 20, 30, 40% more productivity, higher levels of performance, because you're removing the things that are holding them back. This can happen in teams and organizations as well. Habits form through repeated emotional responses and actions. Emotions drive patterns, which become neural pathways, which when they are reinforced become habits. That's the science behind what's going on here. Utilizing habit transformation frameworks like habit story assessment can uncover unproductive patterns such as chronic stress responses, facilitating targeted interventions to replace them with healthier, more productive routines. That's what we want. It doesn't really matter where you are right now, but you need to know where you are right now so you can begin the transformation process. That is the same with habits as it is with emotional intelligence skills. Coaching teams and individuals in understanding their emotional triggers, predicting their habitual responses, reinforcing positive behaviors can significantly enhance workplace emotional climates and overall productivity. And there's a phrase that I use quite often. People choose the emotional environment that they live in. Now, I'm talking about their personal emotional environment. But when you put that together collectively with other team members, that creates the emotional environment of the team. And that can change and become more positive and more productive with effort and intention. Well, I promised you some solutions, and I always like to provide a path forward where you can pick up some things here and try some things, see what works for you. And I have done a lot of research and study, have got 40 years of experience doing this. Let me share, hopefully, things that will help you fast track higher levels of engagement, higher levels of success, reducing stress, enhancing resilience. Let's dive into this. And let's be honest with ourselves. We as leaders bear the critical responsibility for setting the emotional tone of our teams and organization. Leaders proficient in emotional intelligence, habit transformation, and team development can actively mitigate emotional distress in the workplace. I'm going to say that again a little differently. Leaders, it's incumbent upon us to set the emotional environment for ourselves, which then cascades into our team. And that can be changed. I've heard many leaders tell me, I can't change how my people feel. Yes, you can. People leave leaders and managers. They do not leave companies or organizations. And that means that if we as leaders become better at what we do and develop the right habits, develop the productive habits, develop emotional intelligence skills at a higher level, we can change the way other people feel. And that's an important breakthrough for people who get it. So let's go on. Leadership development programs that emphasize empathy, self-regulation, self-awareness, motivation, social skills, and in all of this comes together so that we can better and more quickly recognize distress when we see it in ourselves and in others. We can engage proactively with team members. We can create supportive, empathetic environments where employees can feel valued and they can feel heard. Those things alone will change the emotional environment. So what about team development? That's a part of this solution. Robust team building initiatives are crucial for enhancing workplace dynamics, reducing loneliness, and improving overall employee engagement. I use something called the Team Vital Signs from 6 Seconds, which is a climate survey for teams, but it is heavily infused with measures of emotional intelligence. And when you combine those things, you get a very good picture of what's going on in a team. I have just done that for one of my clients. I'm getting ready to present that information to them in the very near future. And what you get out of that is a measure of the 5 drivers of success in a team: trust, execution, motivation, teamwork, and change, or really the ability to embrace change. And so when you know those measures, you now have metrics that you can create goals in, KPIs out of. And you can say, you know what? Our trust level is good, but our execution level is low. Let's work on enhancing our execution level. Let's work on our teamwork level so that we can get that up. And in 3 months or 6 months, we'll do this measure again and we'll see where our team is. There are real pathways here for real enhancement and real development that aren't just somebody coming in and saying, well, I think you ought to do this, or I think you ought to do that, or let's go read this book, or let's go to this seminar. No, this is a very intentional scientific approach to changing the trajectory and the direction to make it what you want it to be. So the team thing is very important. Creating opportunities for genuine interpersonal connections, promoting psychological safety, can significantly decrease feelings of loneliness, stress, and anger, which we saw were a big problem here in this survey. We want to enhance individual resilience and team resilience at the same time. So the next thing I want you to think about is organizational development. So we're kind of moving from leadership development to team development to the broader scope of organizational development. Organizations must go beyond superficial fixes and invest in holistic organizational development strategies. I mean, that is the foundation of the work that I do with my clients. What is right for your organization? And organizations are different. They have different needs, they have different challenges, although some may be common to other organizations, but it's the mix of those things that is unique. And that's what we want to focus on: finding the right solutions to get the right outcomes, to get the right increases in whatever number you want, whether it's employee engagement or productivity or profitability, whatever that number happens to be. By integrating emotional intelligence, habit transformation, and continuous leadership and team development into organizational practices, that means into the culture of the organization, organizations can establish resilient cultures that are prepared to take advantage of opportunity. That's really important. Proactive organizational development approaches can convert the current high levels of struggling and emotional distress into opportunities for growth, for innovation, and for higher performance. So let me close this out with some very practical steps you can take to address the critical issues that we've been talking about today and transform our workplace environment the way we want it to be. Let's start with conduct emotional intelligence and habit-based assessments to identify specific growth areas in leaders and teams. We have a very specific approach to the way that we do things, and it comes in a sequence: assess, equip, align, and the result is success. Assess, equip, align. That's the process that we know works. And we've seen it work over and over in organizations in all different industries. So conduct those assessments. And there are many more assessments that we could bring into this. Response to conflict, trustworthiness index, coachability, how coachable is someone? There are many different things we can look at, but that's going to be customized to what the needs are for individuals, leaders, teams, and organizations. Second thing, provide targeted coaching and workshops and training focused on emotional intelligence and habit transformation specifically, but there could be some other things that we look at as well. Again, depending on the specific needs of the individual, leader, team, and organization. Number three, establish ongoing leadership development initiatives emphasizing empathy, self-awareness, and effective emotional management. That is so important. As of now, what do you think the percentage of organizations that have a structured leadership development effort is? What do you think that percentage number is? It's 40%. Well, that's better than nothing, but that means 60% of organizations do not have an intentional, structured, well thought through leadership development process. And when we see leaders disengaged at higher and higher levels, 27% right now, that's a serious concern. No wonder we're having so many challenges. Next, implement regular team building and developmental activities designed to enhance trust, communication, and psychological safety. Let's get connected. Let's build trust so that we have better influence with each other. We collaborate better. We innovate better. And we problem solve better. That's a huge issue. And then lastly, integrate habit transformation strategies to shift negative emotional habits and cycles to more productive behaviors. There's a lot more I'd love to tell you about that, but I don't have time today. By taking these steps, organizations not only respond effectively to current challenges, but position themselves for sustainable future success, turning today's difficulties into tomorrow's opportunities. That sounds like an organization I want to work and live in. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.